We're going to bring things back to Illinois now, and joining me here in the Allstate Skyline studio is Democratic State Representative Sarah Feigenholz from Chicago. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's great to be here, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You are the chairwoman of a House Committee on
Adoption
and Child Welfare.
Right.
And obviously, a lot of issues involving child welfare, unfortunately, in the news lately, particularly, obviously, the death of 5-year-old Andrew A.J. Freund from Crystal Lake, getting attention and putting a renewed focus on the Department of Children and Family Services.
Yeah, this has been something I've been thinking about doing for a long time, and I've talked to many people who have an interest in child welfare. You know, we have so many health care related issues facing us in the General Assembly that child welfare seems to fall to the bottom of the priority list. And I felt for years that, you know, we really need to address this agency because, you know, this is an agency that has had, I believe, 13 directors in maybe the last 15 years. So the turnover, the lack of leadership, the lack of vision and focus and mission of child protection has eroded. And we're seeing that not just, you know, A.J. Freund was a tragic, tragic mistake. And there are a lot of other cases very similar to his statewide that we in the committee have reviewed the timelines of these tragedies and seen a sort of a pattern of where things may have gone awry. And it is our charge in this committee to address those issues and work with the new director, Mark Smith, who is a very calming force, which is a good thing, who has spent his life in child welfare. He began his career in child welfare at DCFS as a caseworker when Jess McDonald was the director. And the first time I met him, I said to him, "You didn't create this, but you have inherited it." And, you know, I think what we're going to be doing, you know, after looking at these cases, I believe that the governor is very concerned about this, and I am glad that it is getting his attention. We're going to be looking at some recommendations. The governor asked Chapin Hall, which is a child welfare foundation or think tank here at U of C, I believe, that is going to make some recommendations. I believe those recommendations will come out relatively soon, if not this week. And we're going to see, hopefully, a focus on the Intact Family Program, which is a program to keep kids in their home with their parents. And most of the children were either that we're reading about who have had these tragic deaths have either been in unfounded cases and kept in homes with their families. Somehow, hotline calls were not deemed serious enough. And we're going to look at, and also the children that were, had been in foster care, and look at all of the elements as far back as we can go. And in many ways, kind of, you know, try and collect enough data, Rick, that we can focus in on what we have to do, especially when it comes to the Intact Family Program.
We're speaking with Democratic State Representative Sarah Feigenholz of Chicago about child welfare issues. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. Just want to give a special happy Mother's Day shout out to a longtime listener, Barbara Walsh. Thank you so much for listening. Happy Mother's Day. Hope you're having a great day. We're speaking here in studio with Sarah Feigenholz, Democratic State Representative from Chicago. We're talking about child welfare issues. And, you know, Representative, you went through the litany of directors that this agency has had. I mean, just why does anything ever get better there? I know that's such an all-encompassing, but I mean, is it wrong for me to think that?
No, I mean, I think it's a legitimate question, and I also think that sitting through the hearings and reading the news accounts of the A.J. Freund case has really woken up the public about how troubled this agency is. It's unfortunate that it had to get so bad, but I'm going to be optimistic, Rick, and I'm going to say that because we have this committee and new leadership and we have a governor who is committed, that there is going to be an aggressive push to improve this agency and the welfare of children. I know that I'm going to be as noisy as possible, and you know that's pretty noisy, until we get this right.
You said earlier about in committee going through some of these cases, you went through timelines and you found a pattern. What do you mean by that? What is the pattern?
You know, when some of the decisions were made to leave children intact, or at home under some pretty difficult circumstances, we began to ask ourselves about how these decisions were made and who above the investigators were reviewing these cases. It seemed like what it all boils down to is what we have to do is we have to put more caseworkers in the front lines because we are overburdening and stressing out and burning out our investigators. That's one. The governor has, in his budget address, said he's going to be putting 126 frontline workers into the field. I believe he's already up to 100, so he's fulfilling that promise. He's probably also looking at maybe more because the whole administration and the whole infrastructure of DCFS has been stripped out because of the budget impasse. And I believe that there's not a lot of vertical accountability in the agency. And I'm sure that as the director who began April 15th, by the way,
right,
not even a month, tomorrow's the month that he's been on the job, is looking at his org chart and saying we have got, you know, and he's looking at this system. And, you know, a lot of people in his position would say, I'm amazed that we're doing as well as we are, you know? So there are other elements of, you know, I mean, if you talk to a caseworker, Rick, they'll tell you that, you know, the ratios on their cases is what is hugely problematic, that they don't really have the tools that they need to do their job. There are a lot more modern, there's a lot more technology, a lot more training for these frontline workers who are what I would consider first responders, you know.
Well, and I mean, obviously we had Auditor General Frank Martino did an audit of the agency, and, you know, and I realize that the budget impasse, you know, was devastating to social services across the board. But it always seems there's been that issue of the caseworkers having more cases than they can effectively manage. And sometimes caseworkers get the blame for missing something, but at the same time, when they have so many open cases that they have to review, the checkbacks they have to do, it's not manageable.
No, it's not. And I think what we're going to see from the Chapin Hall report, and I think that any member of this committee who's heard all these cases, and it's been very difficult to sit through them, and hear what has happened to these kids, it just will rip you apart. Is we're probably going to have to take a closer look at our intact family services and create a more robust service package. If we're going to keep children in the families of people struggling with a drug addiction, we have to look at the, you know, violence in the family, and we have to kind of take a snapshot of the history. And if we're going to keep these kids in these families, there are successful programs. Our service package around intact is not robust enough And this, I believe, is what puts these children at risk.
So. Well, I mean, it is Children and Family Services, this agency, and you know, in a wholesome kind of way.
Right. A lot of members on our committee, the debate is very interesting. We have some members on the committee who want to know why these children weren't removed from such a dangerous situation. And I think that that's a natural reaction. And then you have others who say, why didn't this family get services on substance abuse treatment? They're poor. They don't have a functioning car. They can't get their child to school, or, you know, there's like, you know, so what's going to happen if we don't solve this? I mean, we have to solve it because there's going to be there's great diversity in our caucuses about how to respond to this. And I, as you know, am a person who is a pretty strong believer in reunification. Right? I was adopted, and I believe that I believe in reunification. I think little children, you know, you heard little A.J. Freund when he was at the doctor. You know, when they asked him if somebody in his house heard him, and his little innocent voice says, "Yeah, I think my mommy, you know, may have hit me with a belt buckle
accidentally."
Right. I mean, but you know what? We're not going to change human nature. We have to change how we address these problems in a very smart way. And I think a lot of it is going to have to be an investment of dollars. The public should know that I looked into the number of cuts that this agency has suffered over the last maybe 13 years. And it turns out that DCFS was cut about $200 million. Cut.
And this is what you get.
Right. And so we're going to have to rebuild this agency.
Well, and you were talking off air, too, about pay for some of these.
You know, we have four regions at Child Welfare. DCFS is divided into four regions in the state. We have a hotline. We have, and then that information is disseminated to the field and to those regions. And then the investigators work for the state, but once there is a service plan or the need is assessed, very often, 85% of the time, this responsibility is handed off to our community organizations that are embedded, like Lutheran Social Services, Catholic Charities, you name it, and Children's Home and Aid. You know, and these cases are very complex, you know. And the workers in these agencies are making, I think Nancy Ronquillo said, $13.58 an hour, and haven't seen a rate increase in 12 years. So if we're going to enlist people to do a job of child and family services and welfare, we have got to raise the standard, the pay, to stabilize the workforce. And if we have an expectation of state-of-the-art training, wraparound services, it is incumbent upon us to fortify them and give them the tools they need to do their job.
That's Democratic State Representative Sarah Feigenholz from Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.